we're tired of day in, day out, Groundhog Day type medicine where the patients are similar every day and the patients are critically ill every day and the patients are dying every day.
As a critical care pulmonologist, Dr. Matthew Trunsky has been on the front lines of the pandemic for more than a year and a half now. At Beaumont in Troy, he's seen scores of COVID-19 patients pass away. He's endured brutally long hours at the hospital. But recently, Trunsky's been up against a different kind of challenge. COVID-19 patients in denial of the disease, or denying the seriousness of their illness, or the benefits of the vaccine. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Dr. Trunsky recently took to his Facebook page in frustration over what he'd been hearing from critically ill COVID patients in the span of just a couple of days. Things like,
"You're wrong, doctor. I'm too healthy. I don't have COVID. I'm fine." To which I put in parentheses, "In reality, he's fighting for his life." And what I can say now is that in reality, he passed away.
Then there was the patient's wife who demanded that doctors give her husband ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, neither of which have been shown to improve outcomes for COVID patients.
The next one is, "I don't care what you say, I'm going to leave." That patient was upset that his wife could not stay in the hospital with him and was on so much oxygen that my response was, "It's your prerogative to leave, but I think if you leave, you won't probably make it to your car alive, or at least you won't make it home alive."
Dr. Trunsky says after years of practice, he's got a pretty thick skin for patient pushback. But when he saw one of the nurses he works with taking the brunt of a patient's wife's anger, his frustration bubbled over.
This is a really good nurse, really smart nurse, but really also a young nurse. And I just thought to myself, nobody deserves this.
All this, of course, adds to the emotional and physical toll that the pandemic has taken on healthcare workers.
I think with the pandemic dragging on for now a year and a half, I think physicians are, and nurses and therapists and techs and everybody in the hospital are physically becoming worn out. And emotionally, I think it's exactly the same. And now what's particularly challenging is people are dying from a disease that's largely preventable.
Was this the first year in your time as an MD that you've encountered patients who didn't believe a diagnosis or disregarded your advice? I'm guessing not.
No, I mean, and truthfully, I welcome informed patients. I think it's a breath of fresh air when somebody walks in and says, "You know, I've done a little of my own research. I read this, and this is what I think," because I'm a firm believer that care should be delivered with shared decision making. And so I should hear from my patients what's important to them and what their goals are. And then I have the expertise of having the medical knowledge. And together we can make the best plan going forward. But there's always been people who doubt us and people who maybe know research that I don't know. The problem now is the doubting is coming from unproven, more conspiracy type research, quote unquote, because it's certainly not research. And how people are amassing the data and whom they choose to believe is what's particularly scary.
Has the doubting come up more during the pandemic or even just more this year?
Yes, I think definitely. I think it's not, to me, this is not a political issue, although it can easily be cast as one, but people either believe the science or they don't. And what I find challenging is the provider is, it's like how conspiracies work and develop is when people make up a conspiracy, they start with the conclusion and then they go out to find data that in any way supports their conclusion, which is obviously backwards. But by that, I've heard tons of people say, "My friend got the vaccine, my friend got COVID, and therefore the vaccine doesn't work." And obviously that's a false statement because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt the vaccine works. So the people who are coming in and challenging us are challenging us with false data and harmful data and data that is not in any way conclusive, but data that supports the conclusion they want to support.
We've got to take a quick break here. In just a minute, Dr. Trunsky will tell us how he's approaching vaccine hesitancy among his patients and their families. We'll be right back.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
When somebody says to you, as you wrote in the post, "I'd rather die than take a COVID vaccine," how do you answer that?
Well, I mean, at that point in time, when I'm meeting most of these patients, the vaccine isn't being offered because they're acutely ill and the vaccine doesn't work that way. But I've learned over the years, I used to be very hardline when I was a new physician on smokers and trying to get people to quit smoking, and it doesn't work. And so I basically now say to that woman who incidentally subsequently has passed away, I say, "Do you have any questions whatsoever about the vaccine that is making you hesitant? Is there anything I can answer to help you get over your hesitation so that you'll receive a vaccine?" And typically some people, I would say half the patients, ask meaningful, good questions that we can clarify, and half say, "No, you can't do that." And then to them, I'll say, "Well, let me just tell you a couple stories of patients I've seen." And the stories are, there are hundreds of them, but stories of last April, a college kid who goes to spring break in Florida, comes back and hugs grandma and grandma's dead. Or I referenced a woman who did not get a vaccine because she was breastfeeding and she knew it had been recommended for her. And then she gets admitted and has a very challenging looking x-ray and is on a lot of oxygen. And now she's scared not about not taking the virus, but about getting home to raise a 10-month-old baby. Mm-hmm. So stories like that sometimes convince people to get vaccinated. But I just think, and this is my own feeling about the whole thing, when Delta came out, my thought back in April or whenever that was that of the unvaccinated people, half of them would finally say, "Geez, oh, Pete's, man, this is real. I better get my vaccine." And the other half, whom I think we're seeing now, would say, "I can't be wrong." And I'm really finding a segment of society now who just doesn't understand how to be wrong. And those people now are relying on luck to stay well. And there's even a handful of them, like this woman who passed away, who even as she's dying say, "I will never take the vaccine." And I think it's people who can't find a way to justify that their opinion is incorrect.
I think hesitancy and vaccine anxiety take different forms for different people. But what is your read on what's happening here? What causes a person who maybe is in a hospital, you know, receiving intensive care, you know, to just deny what's happening?
I don't have a great answer for that, because I think it's really mind-boggling that someone can see a loved one die and still say, "Well, I can't do that." And that's actually one of the other pieces I referenced in my post, which was a woman who, after her husband died, said she still felt uncomfortable recommending the vaccine to family and friends. I don't have an understanding of that, other than I think that people believe their quote unquote research that they've done on their own more than people with expertise in the field. And people just in their inner core don't want to be wrong. And unfortunately, that opinion is wrong. And what we're seeing now is that if you don't take the vaccine, in my opinion, you're relying on luck to not get sick. And we're going to see a surge here, I think, as the weather turns cold and people go inside and schools are back in session. You're relying on luck not to catch it. And then you're relying on luck not to be sick. And truthfully, some people get through it like it's a cold, and this is not a cold. I don't even want to make the comparison, but some people do really well and don't feel sick and don't have symptoms. But we can't tell. We can't tell on day one in the hospital who's going to be there for a day, who's going to be there for 3 months, and who's going to live and who's going to die. And it's a lot like a stock market, where there's a curve that's up and down and up and down with respect to oxygen needs hour by hour. and day by day, and we're looking over week by week for these positive trends. And even with a positive trend, it doesn't always end well. As has happened with the patient that I referenced, that he passed away this week, who was too healthy for the vaccine and too healthy to have COVID.
What's getting you through?
I guess I like my job. I like taking care of people. I like helping people. And live or die, I'm happy and I'm honored to be part of the team and have people have put that kind of trust in me and my colleagues. I also, I'm trained in palliative care, and I do quite a bit of end-of-life counseling and decision-making. And truthfully, if I can help somebody at the end of their life pass away by their rules, by their script, I feel really comfortable with that. That's always been an inspiration to me and to people who do palliative care work or in the ICU quite a bit, taking care of people who are critically ill.
Dr. Trunsky, thank you so much for your work and for keeping us all informed about what's going on.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And that's the Stateside Podcast today. I'm April Baer. You can find more from Stateside at michiganradio.org or find us on Twitter. We're at Stateside Radio. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's episode was produced by April Van Buren with help from Laura. Our theme music is by 14KT, additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.